Thank you. పశ్యత పుస్తకాశాముచ్యత
Nama of the holy name Ucharana, pronouncing Mahatmyam, exalted position, Hare, of the Supreme Lord, Pasyata, Jassi, Putraka, of my dear servants, Ajamil, even Ajamil, Yena, by chanting, Eva, certainly, Mrityupasa, the ropes of death, Amuchita was delivered. And these mighty servants, who are as good as my son, just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. A greatly sinful Ajamil chanted only to call his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, who remembered Narayana, and thus he was immediately saved from the ropes of death. Purport, there's no need to conduct research into the significance of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in the history of Ajamil. Is sufficient proof of the power of the Lord's holy name and the exalted position of a person who chants the holy name incessantly. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, Haranama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gapiranyata. In this age of Kali, no one can perform all the ritualistic ceremonies for becoming liberated. That is extremely difficult. Therefore, all the Shastras and all the Acharyas have recommended in this age one chant the holy name. Translation by dear servants, who are as good as my sons, to see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The greatly sinful Ajamil chanted only to call his son, not knowing he was chanting the Lord's holy name, nevertheless, but chanting the holy name. Remember Narayana, thus he was immediately saved from the ropes of death. So this is a glorification of the chanting of the name, even accidentally. So this is technically called namabhas. So to chant with attention is better than chanting accidentally or in namabhas. Of course, there's two types of namabhas, one with attention and one without attention, accidentally, etc. So this is chanting without knowing it. At all. So this is kind of in the lowest position. Of course, worse than that is chanting with offense, with hostility towards the Lord. So this type of namabhas is, we can say, without intention of pleasing the Lord, but without offense. So it is neutral. So there are different types of this. For instance, in the case of Ajamil, he chanted because it was the name of his son. So he was not indicating Narayana by the chanting of the name Narayana. He was indicating his son. He had no intention of glorifying Narayana. So it wasn't devotion on his part. At the same time, he had no hostility towards Narayana, like demons when Shishupal says the name Krishna, he's hostile. So it's not the same thing. So he chanted the name Narayana, his son. So this is accidental chanting without devotion, without hostility. So that is a type of namabhas. Then, of course, we have other types of accidental chanting or inattentive chanting without hostility or without devotion. For instance, one can jokingly say the name of the Lord, mention the name of Krishna or Vishnu in some joke of some sort, or in a joking manner. It's called parihas, without devotion, but without hostility also. So that is another type. And then we have the say inattention. We simply say the name of the Lord, utter it without even meaning anything. Krishna, I'm tired today. We're not addressing Krishna at all. We just say the name Krishna inattentively. And then another is, of course, to use the syllables of the name simply to fill up in poetry, to fill up space or something like that, or in songs, called stova. And of course we have other types. For instance, if one is falling off a cliff or bit by a snake, one may call out the name of the Lord. So that is not done with devotion or with hostility in some cases. So all of these are considered to be a type of namabas, without devotion and without bad intentions. Then we have, of course, namaparad, where there are bad intentions, where we have hostility to the Lord and we say His name. So that's, of course, negative, completely negative. And then we have chanting of the name with devotion, but with ignorance about the Lord, some ignorance about the Lord, some knowledge is obviously there because we have devotion for the Lord, but also some ignorance and some desires. So that's also called namabas. So in the case of Ajamil, it was namabas with accidental chanting and no devotion at all. So that's in the lower position. Nevertheless, we see that he got great effect from that, and the Vishnu Dutas came and they rescued him from the Yama Dutas, and they gave him extra life. So therefore, this type of chanting of the name of the Lord, even not Krishna's name but Narayan's name, has the power to eradicate karmas. So it is explained that in the Bhagavad of another place, chanting even once the name of the Lord, inattentively or accidentally or whatever, without devotion, destroys all your karmas. And so therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the first time that Ajamil chanted the name Narayana, when he named his son Narayana, he said, okay, your name is Narayana, then all of his karmas were destroyed. And so it didn't take any practice at all of saying Narayana's name repeatedly. So in other words, when he died, he already was free of his karmas long before that, when his son was born, when he named his son Narayana, he was free of his karmas. So this shows the power of the holy name. Of course, removing karma is not the ultimate goal of bhakti. Karmas are removed by bhakti. Klesha Gni is the first symptom of bhakti, though it's not the goal. So therefore, this type of namabas can do this. So even without devotion, accidental devotion, one can get Klesha Gni in the sense of removing karmas. However, there's a limit to such namabas. It cannot give you prema. So Ajamil, despite that type of namabas, could not get prema. He could get free of his sins, simple reactions, but he could not get prema. He went to Vaikuntha, however, later, because he actually intentionally performed bhakti with devotion later on in the association of devotees, and therefore he advanced and he went to Vaikuntha eventually. But if one only has this type of namabas, that is not sufficient to get you prema. It can get you up to liberation, free of the material karmas and all that. It cannot give you liberation, not give you prema. So there's a limitation on this type of accidental chanting. So people may think, well, then I will disengage in accidental chanting, get rid of my karmas, and in this way, I get perfection. In one sense, yes, you get rid of your karmas, you can get liberation, but you don't get prema. So one who is more serious about spiritual life will go beyond this type of namabas, and he'll actually go for chanting purely Sudanam. So this story of Ajamil is there to show that the Lord has mercy even for the jivas who are hopeless in this material world. But, of course, he shows different types of mercy to different persons. To the devotees, he gives them prema. And to the non-devotees, like Ajjamil, he will give them liberation, destruction of karmas for chanting the name. And to the demons, if they do aparads, generally they go to hell. But we see in the case of Krishna's, when Sishupal chanted Krishna's name with hostility, he actually went to Vaikuntha. That of course is because Krishna directly killed him. So there are exceptions, but generally aparadis are not in a very good position. But if one is neutral and takes through this process of chanting the name of the Lord, then it helps to purify you. That is, of course, no guarantee that you will progress to prema. One still has to get mercy of devotees. So Ajamil got the mercy of the Vishnu Dutas, and later he got the mercy of devotees in Haridwar, and therefore he advanced in bhakti later on. So this type of chanting is not complete. We should not think this is perfection. But it is powerful in that it can save one from Yamaraja's punishments, etc., and destroy all the karmas. So as I said, this story is to illustrate how the Lord is merciful even to the people who are actually unqualified for bhakti. And they're not doing bhakti, but the Lord gives mercy even to these persons. So Ajamil was very sinful. He had many sinful activities. And his life was actually shortened because of his sinful activities. And he was about to die. But because he had chanted, even accidentally, the name of the Lord, therefore the Vishnudutas interfered with the Yamadutas, says you cannot punish him because he has no karmas. He has chanted the name of the Lord. And you cannot take him because his karmas have disappeared, so therefore he gets extra life. His life is not short. He'll get a full lifespan. In this way, the mercy of the name is illustrated by the fact that it interferes with the karmas and destroys them. So that's the effect of Namabhas. So if one chants with devotion and Namabhas, that's the higher stage. So we can get a little bit more than that. We are favorable to the Lord, we have a little bit of knowledge of the Lord, and we chant. That's actually better. This is also a way in which one can progress somewhat, but it's also not perfect. So a person who does this, a devotee who chants in Namabhas, yes, he can progress somewhat and destroy his karmas and progress, but still he cannot get prema. So the devotees are advised to not chant in Namabhas, but to chant purely. So if one develops faith, along with that, one has to get knowledge. Then one can chant purely. So what is that knowledge? That knowledge is not the jnana of the impersonalist. This jnana is knowledge about the relationship of jiva to the Supreme Lord, nature of the Supreme Lord, nature of the avatars, nature of Krishna, etc. This type of jnana is very necessary in order to chant purely. Because if we don't, and we're chanting and thinking we merge into God, then we become avratis or whatever. Or if we chant and we're thinking of ultimately going to Svargaloka and enjoying very nicely, again, this is a mixed type of bhakti. And so it's not very strong. So we have to have pure bhakti. So to do that, we have to have proper knowledge. So therefore, along with the chanting of the holy name, we do have to get Bhagavad Jnana, and we get that from scripture through the devotees. So when we get the knowledge through the devotees, then we can chant purely. When we chant purely, with faith, then we can actually progress towards prema. So that's the final conclusion. Of course, along with another avas is some impurities. One is ignorance that we have, that is removed by knowledge. The other impurity which causes avas is desires. So we cannot mix up bhakti and have karma Mr. Bhakti or Gan Mr. Bhakti or yoga Mr. Bhakti. This again becomes avas, bhakti avas. So we have to keep the process of bhakti unmixed with other processes and other desires. And then we can have sudanan and sudabhakti. So in the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, the Rupa Goswami defines pure bhakti. And he says it is jnana, karma, adi, and avratam. It is not covered by jnana, karma, or any other process. So that means that one could do some karmas, activities. We do activities anyway. And we could even do some of the activities of varnashram, but we should not be attached to them, and they should not contradict in any way the activities of bhakti. And as for jnana, we take that jnana which is useful for bhakti. We have to distinguish atma from body. That's like the other jnana. But we also have to distinguish, to have knowledge of distinction of jiva from Supreme Lord, and all about the process of bhakti and the Supreme Lord. So that type of jnana is necessary. On the other hand, it says, ani abhilashita sunya. There should be no other desires. So what is the main desire? Main desire is simply Krishna Vasilana. Serving Krishna, that is the desire. Other desires are desires for liberation, desires for material prosperity, desires for Swarga Loka, desires for powers, desires for position, etc. That's Anya Abhilash. So the devotee has to be, in his execution of service to Krishna, has to be free of those. So that is the definition of Sudha Bhakti. So when we mix other desires and other processes, then we start getting this mixture, and this becomes avas. And then we cannot get prema. So it is only that Sudha Bhakti, which is outlined by Rupa Goswami in the beginning of Nectar Devotion, this is the one that will give you Bhakti Rasa Rasa Sindhu, that is the ocean of nectar. Otherwise you cannot get that with the mixed bhakti. What to speak of not doing bhakti at all. So one is fortunate to take to bhakti, but one has to do it purely. And if one takes other processes, such as karma or jnana, then one is less fortunate. And if one mixes the processes of bhakti with other things, that is also not so good. But to help out the people of the material world, we have this type of namavas for the people that have no faith. So, by accidentally chanting, as in the case of Ajamil, the Lord gives mercy and he helps them remove their karmas. Hopefully through that, they will then take association of devotees in advance towards bhakti. They may not, but hopefully they will. Therefore, namavas in itself is not a complete process, it's simply a beginning. But to show the power of the Lord and his name, this story of Ajamil is given. So even though it wasn't bhakti, it wasn't pure, he had no faith, and he accidentally chanted, still the name of the Lord does have this power to destroy all the karmas. How is it so? This is so because the name is non-different from the Lord. The Lord has all powers, name has all powers. So the Lord destroys all karma, the Lord does so many things. The name also has these powers. But not all the powers are revealed to all the people. So the aspect of the name is filled with prema also, but Those people that excellently chant don't have access to that. But they do have access to the power of the name to destroy karma. That much they do have. So, this is the example is given of Panchamyoni, where he accidentally chanted and all the karmas were gone. Oh, Harinath Thakur was the, or it's called Namacharya. You know, Lord Chaitanya called him Namacharya because he was always chanting the name. That, of course, does not mean that others did not chant the name also, but he was particularly absorbed in the name. So, therefore, he said he chanted all day and night, and maybe only had time, a few hours, for sleeping and eating and doing other things. So, maybe he was chanting 20 hours a day or whatever like that. Sometimes he would chant loudly, sometimes softly, but he'd always be engaged in chanting. And this process he did for many, many years. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that in his earlier years he was doing this also. And then when he met Lord Chaitanya, he was somewhat elder. And then when Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, Haridas Thakur also went there. And then Haridas Thakur passed away, so he was quite old when he passed away. And so when he met Lord Chaitanya, he was also not a young person, he was considerably older. He was an associate of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya was also elderly compared to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because when Lord Chaitanya was a child, Advaitacharya was already an adult, probably middle-aged at that time. So by the time Lord Chaitanya had grown up, Advaitacharya was much elder, and so Haridas Thakur was in that category. He was quite one generation above, let's say. So anyway, Haridas Thakur, even when he was with Advaitacharya, Advaitacharya was very fond and affectionate to Haridas Thakur also. So it's described that he actually gave him the Shraddha plates, which are usually given to Brahmins, gave it to Haridas Thakur. Because he considered them more exalted than the Brahmins. But Haridas Thakur was not respected by Brahmins, and they often insulted him, whatever. And the reason was, of course, that he was actually not born as a Hindu. He was actually born as a Muslim. But somehow or other, he was chanting the name of the Lord, so Advaitacharya respected him more than the Brahmins, which was rather revolutionary at that time. And the common people also held him in great regard because they could understand that he was always absorbed in chanting. He was not involved in any material activities, had no interest at all. And then there's a story of how they schemed to make him fall down by sending a prostitute. But he could not be affected, and rather he converted the prostitute and she became a devotee also. So that was his power. Not only he could chant continuously, he'd also make other people chant and make them give up their sinful activities and become devotees. So that is shown in the case of that prostitute. So he had very, very great attraction for the name. It's considered to be an incarnation of Brahma and Prahlad. Because he was attacked in many ways, especially by beaten in the marketplaces, just as Prahlad was attacked by his father and tortured in many ways. He was always attached to the name of the Lord. And in Puri, when he was there, he lived alone down near the ocean. And Lord Chaitanya would meet him every day. He would come to the ocean and bathe, and he would meet Haridas Thakur and discuss with them every day. He was very affectionate to him. And there's one section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita which describes a conversation between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requests Haridas Thakur to glorify the name. And so then he begins to glorify the name. So completely unqualified, but then he begins to glorify the holy name. And based on that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur later wrote the Harinam Chintamani as an expansion of that, to glorify the holy name. So when we glorify the holy name, of course, it's not only the name, but we're glorifying the name of Krishna, so that's even more special. So this is what Lord Chaitanya chants, and this is what Haridas Thakur chants, chanting this name, the name of Krishna. The passing of Haridas Thakur was described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Again, Lord Chaitanya, he actually carried him and personally buried him in the sand. So in this way he illustrated that Haridas Thakur was actually pure. Even though he was born in a Muslim family, he was not contaminated at all, but he was actually very pure. So Lord Chaitanya personally buried and arranged for his funeral ceremony and the feast afterwards. This illustrates the fact that chanting of the name is beyond varna and ashrama and caste and whatever. Everyone can take the process and everyone can reach the highest stage. So Haridas Thakur chanted continuously, and he was also in the highest stages of ecstasy at all times. And therefore, when the Muslims beat him in the marketplaces, he was not aware of his body because of his ecstasy in relation to the Supreme Lord. So he was completely absorbed in the Supreme Lord at all times. So he was an example of complete attraction for the name of the Lord, chanting purely at all times. Partially, yeah, partially for a lot.
His natural taste for chanting came because of his previous personality. He had so much taste from other devotees. He spent all the time, he had natural taste.
What's that?
Unless someone had natural taste for this now.
Yeah. How it arose, thing, of course, we can say because he was actually Prahlad and Brahma, then he must have been a devotee. But historically, there's no real records of his early life or whatever, as far as I know.
Huh?
It's not described like that, like Bhishma or something. It's not described. Oh, that's after he was beaten. Then the Muslim guards said, well, if you don't die, the king is going to put us in jail, so you have to die. So therefore he pretended to die, and then later he got up and walked away. They put him in the river, and then he floated out of the river, and he woke up, and then he walked away. So they thought, oh, maybe he's a ghost or something. And they didn't touch him after that.
He had no initiation.
No, he didn't initiate anyway. He didn't get initiated, probably. He's not even known that he was initiated. He just chanted Hare Krishna, that's all.
How can understand that without initiation?
Because Harinam does not need initiation. Chanting the name does not need initiation.
The person is saying that unless you get Diksha from the Guru by source, chanting
Hare Krishna Mantra Mahavakta. It doesn't say that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says the Harinam is independent of Diksha.
Yes, Diksha.
Ah, no, he's not saying it's necessary for chanting. But in terms of one's progress, one should take Diksha and learn the process, etc. So the chanting does not require the Diksha. And generally, of course, one does take Diksha, and you choose that so one can do deity worship. So Diksha, you need Diksha for deity worship. No, you didn't worship any deity. This means the name, personification of the name.
What's the connection? Please also the disability of the Bhakti Rambo. So we'll be having the Bhakti Rambo Guru Puja Krishna. also today, part of the World Moline Festival, Vishwa Hrinamotsav, ISKCON Global has requested all devotees all over the world to stop all their activity between 5:30 to 5:40, chant for 10 minutes, different time zones. So wherever you are, you can tell your friends, they may be devotees or non-devotees, ask them to stop in a bus stand, office, house, wherever you are, stop all your activities, take a japamala or you can use your finger, chant for 10 minutes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's called Global Prayer for Peace and Prosperity. Please tell all your friends, and today evening at 5:30. It may be different place, different time zones. India is 5:30. Hare Hare.